Okay, can everybody hear us?
Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Tivoli Talk IT Asset Management Conference Call. Today's program is being recorded. At this time, I'll turn things over to Mr. Jeff Peters. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining the Tivoli Talk for this morning. I want to introduce both Gabby Zeiderveld and Don Busick, who joined our team from the MRO acquisition. Gabby, why don't you go ahead and do some brief introductory remarks.
Okay, great. So first of all, as you might have noticed, we had some problems sharing the PowerPoint. So on Extreme Leverage, the actual PowerPoint file is available. So if you're having trouble seeing this through the e-meeting, please go to the PowerPoint file. So today we'll be presenting on the IT asset management solution that came to us through the MRO acquisition. Both Don Busick and I will be presenting. Don Busick comes from MRO, like I do, and has a very, very long history with the IT asset management product. He is currently in our product strategy group, and I myself am in market management working on the IT asset management and service desk solutions. So Don is going to kick it off today with a whole bunch of great information. So Don, please go ahead.
Thanks, Gabby. Thanks, Jeff. So as Gabby mentioned, I think we're having a little problems with the PowerPoint. I'm just going to mention off the slide numbers as we page through, and we'll go that way if you don't mind. So if you go to slide number two, what this gives is a overview of what we consider the Maximo platform. And so when I speak about Maximo, I'll be referring to functionality that encompasses enterprise asset management, so management of things like production equipment, facilities, transportation assets, et cetera. IT asset management, which is servers, laptops, desktops, telecom equipment, et cetera, and then Maximo also has the Tivoli Service Desk is within that platform, and so that's your typical break-fix service desk, ITIL-based functionality, so you call up to IT and say, hey, I've got a problem with my laptop, they fix it. That type of functionality is also within the Maximo platform. Now, the way Maximo works is we have deep dive functionality in all of those areas, but what I'm going to cover today is specifically the IT hardware and software functionality. So if you proceed along to slide three, what this talks about now is how we got into this space. Now, MRO software had been around for about 40 years. We were in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for EAM every year, the leader almost every year. And what happened was we wanted to broaden our functionality into the IT asset management space. And so as you see from this timeline, in 1994, a company called Main Control was founded. It was focused specifically on developing IT asset management only software. In 2002, early 2002, MRO Software acquired that company, Main Control, and we took the best practices out of that product, and we rebuilt them and retooled them into the Maximo framework. And then you see here, actually the end of 2006, early 2007, IBM acquired MRO Software, and we are well into the process of integrating the Maximo product platform with all of the rest of the Tivoli product suite. So what does that mean if you look in the bottom right-hand corner of this slide? What that means is that there's over 13 years of IT asset management knowledge, product development, and best practices, et cetera, baked into our existing solution. And if you think about 13 years within kind of the software lifespan, that is really a lifetime of best practices and industry experience baked into the solution. So if we go on to slide four, what slide four does is it's just kind of a placekeeper telling you that now that you have an understanding of kind of Maximo and where we are in the product, we're going to get into asset management for IT and start talking about what that really means. Now we're into the nitty-gritty. If you go on to slide five, you see a very colorful picture. This colorful picture depicts the IT life cycle, and you see within Maximo, we manage all phases of this life cycle, from planning, which is, you know, the concept of, say, your marketing department says, hey, we want to do a new marketing initiative. We need to get new web servers to host that initiative, et cetera, et cetera. That's the type of thing that happens in planning. Through the acquisition or acquire phase, acquiring is the actual procurement of those assets. That's putting in a PO for a new laptop, that type of thing. To the deployment, deployment is the actual then setting up that laptop for the end user, giving it to that end user, et cetera, et cetera. To the management phase. Management phase is things along the lines of the installation of new software, the moving of assets from one person to another, the maintenance of those assets, the break fix of them, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, the final phase is retirement. And so retirement is things like, my laptop is at end of lease. I need to return it to the vendor. I'm going to donate my IT equipment to a charitable foundation, et cetera, et cetera. Now, companies are going to have stronger processes in some areas, and other customers will have weaker processes in these areas. The key is that our asset management for IT solutions and Maximo in this case specifically can handle all of the issues that companies or customers have in all of these areas. And really, you can start out at any point in any of these life cycles depending upon the customer's needs. If you go into slide six, I'm going to begin a deep dive on each one of those particular phases and what the impact is and how our solutions help in these cases. So if you look at slide six, we're going to start out with the plan phase, although, as I mentioned, you could really jump in at any phase in this life cycle. Now, planning is things like, if you look on the left-hand side of the slide, planning is things like what you see there. So this is determining what's the appropriate technology for a given solution or initiative. It's the planning of the refreshment of your technology. So, you know, a customer that's been using a mainframe solution for a long period of time and wants to switch over to a web-architected solution, it's that type of planning out of that work. It's end-of-lease coordination. It's the inventory checking. So it's setting up your stock rooms and your stock levels, things along those lines. That's typical steps that you do within the planning phase. Now, Maximo is going to help a customer in all of those items, and what you see in the additional benefits down on the right-hand corner of this slide is the types of ways that we add value to particular customers. And so you see things like the automatic notification of lease termination. So if a customer is a leases their assets today, what happens is their vendor, let's say Lenovo, goes in and lets them know, all right, you've got 800 laptops that are due to be returned within the next couple months. Maximo will automate that process of notifying the end users that they're going to be receiving a new laptop, they need to turn in their old laptop, et cetera, and that can all be tailored and based to a customer's preferences. Alerts when software license limitations are at risk. So TLCM feeds into Maximo and says, hey, you are over-licensed or under-licensed in this area. What actions do you want to take? Then you can perform the planning of those actions within Maximo. And obviously alerts when the storm levels are at risk. So this is the concept of setting in minimum thresholds for your storerooms. Let's say you always want to make sure you have five spare hard drives at your help desk because you know that your hard drives are going to fail at a certain rate. That type of alerting can be set up as well. If you proceed on to slide seven, we'll jump now into the acquisition phase or acquire phase. Now, there is a full procurement suite within Maximo. So this is your purchase orders, your purchase requisitions, giving you the ability to integrate with your vendors, to acquire new hardware, software, et cetera. There's also canned integrations to other procurement systems such as SAP and Oracle. You have the ability to go in and receive your assets, et cetera, et cetera. These are the types, again, the types of things that a customer would typically do. Now, if you think about the acquisition or acquire phase, this is things like going through the approval levels all the way up to the CFO or the CEO, depending upon the financial metrics, for the approval of the purchases. And then this is the shipping and receiving guys at the dock going in and receiving the equipment, validating that the right equipment's there, taking barcode scanners out and scanning that equipment in to enter that information into Maximo, et cetera. And then some additional benefits that you see on the bottom right-hand side are things like requisition and order approval workflows. So all of those approvals and the checks and balances, making sure your SOC's compliant with your purchasing, et cetera. and automated ordering based on stock levels. So you have the ability to go in and say, all right, in my prior example of 5 hard drives, I'm down to 4 hard drives in my stock threshold. I want to automatically place an order with my vendor for a new hard drive, and then see those, the receipt of those assets come through in Maximo, et cetera. So those are some of the additional benefits. Now, if you skip on to slide 8, we move into the deploy phase, and this is when, as an end user, it starts to get exciting, right? Because this is when you're actually seeing that new equipment come across your desk. So some of the standard things that are offered by Maximo within this, on the you see on the left-hand side, the asset assignment, the ability, again, to have interfaces to third-party systems, some canned, some configurable, the asset assignment, so you have the ability to assign an asset to the employee, to cost centers, to specific projects, to locations, et cetera. So you think about that conceptually, that's you have within your IT asset management solution, you have the ability to know not just the specifics of that asset, what its configuration is, you know, what its what operating system is running on it, et cetera, but also things like who's using it, who's the primary user, who's the custodian of it, what are they doing, what software is running on it, what are the software's licensed to run on it, et cetera, et cetera. You have the ability in that deploy phase to do things like automated communication. So you can be firing off emails and negotiating the timing of that deployment with the end users, all, again, within the Maximo system. If you look at the bottom right-hand side, again, for the additional benefits, here are some of those additional benefits that we add that are over and above what is typically seen in an IT asset management solution in the deployment phase. So you have the integration to Tivoli Service Desk so that when a service desk technician comes in to see their work, they can see, all right, today I've got to deploy 5 new laptops to the sales team today, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have built-in tools to add asset attributes for based on the asset type. So you have dynamic attributes. So if you want to track specific things about laptops, those can be different from the attributes that you track or care about from servers, which are different from the attributes that you track and care about for telecom equipment, for example. All standard out-of-the-box functionality within Maximo. And then planned workflow integration with Tivoli TPM to deploy the software. The key is that you're doing the planning of your process within Maximo, the planning of how you're going to deploy your assets, et cetera. Then we would integrate to operational management tools such as TPM, SMS, et cetera, to actually, in this case, physically deploy the software out to people's machines. If you move on to slide 9, focuses on the management phase or manage. And so this, for those of you who are familiar with asset management for IT, this is things like IMAC, install, move, add, change. And so this is the kind of maintenance of your equipment. This is break, fix, ticketing. This is the end user using it. It's going to different end users. New software is being deployed. The OS is being upgraded. Things along those lines. If you, again, if you look at the left-hand side, I'm not going to read off all the bullets here. But you can see all of the different steps that are done within this phase and can be done within Maximo. If you look at the right-hand side for the additional benefits, you can see all of the additional benefits to using our Tivoli solution for managing assets. And so it's things like providing asset service history. So imagine this as an end user. You go in and log a ticket saying your laptop is having a problem today. Perhaps you can't get into Lotus Notes or something along those lines. All at the fingertips of that IT technician is the ability to know and understand not just information on that call that you just entered, but also the history of your asset. How many times you as an end user have had this problem, how many times your particular asset has had this problem. You can see the service history, what's been installed recently, what might be causing this problem, et cetera, et cetera. Again, all at the person's fingertips because it's all tracked within the asset management solution and integrated with the service desk. You have the ability to understand kind of the change management piece. So as an end user, you can submit a change ticket around, hey, I need new equipment, I need a new configuration for my laptop, et cetera. And then as you see with the third bullet under the additional benefits, automatic notification of contract renewals. And so from a contract perspective, this is a big piece of managing your assets. This is the concept of understanding all of the work that you're doing with your vendors, as well as their contractual obligations based on the equipment that you've bought or leased from them. And so, for example, you not only know, hey, I've bought 7,000 laptops from Lenovo this past month, that gets me a better discount, and you have an understanding of that globally, but it also tells you, well, Lenovo, because I've purchased 7,000 laptops from you in this past month, that gives me platinum service with your help desk, so that I can escalate my hardware problems to your help desk and expect a certain time limit for them to return my calls, a certain SLA. So all of that information and understanding, again, is tracked within Maximo, and you have the ability to manage all that contractual information and send out notifications, et cetera, in this case during the manage phase. If you skip on to slide 10, now we'll progress over to the retirement phase. Now, retire is typically the last phase in the life cycle, but if you think about it, it's really joined with that acquisition and planning phase, because as you're going through your retirement piece, you should already be planning out your next steps, what you're replacing that asset with. You're already going into the acquisition piece to procure that new laptop, that new asset, et cetera, et cetera. So during retirement, if you look at the left-hand side of the slide, this is things like managing the end of life. It's from an IT perspective, it's understanding who had those who had that laptop that needs to be returned to the lease vendor. It's understanding IT doesn't have this asset. Who's the last person to log into it? What has been added to it? Has there been, oh, geez, somebody upgraded the memory to it. We want to strip that off because we want to apply it to a new laptop, et cetera, et cetera. It's things like understanding from a end-of-life perspective, it's understanding how much hardware or software you've given, for example, to charitable organizations for tax donation purposes. All of that information can be tracked. And then if you look at the right-hand side, it's for additional benefits, it's things like automating the workflows to handle that end-of-life processing, right? So if you think about that, every customer's end-of-life business process is a little bit different. Some, for example, don't give to charities. Others always give to a specific vendor or sell off their assets to a specific vendor, et cetera, et cetera. This is the automation of that process so that from an IT perspective, they have to spend less manpower and they're able to redeploy that manpower over to more strategic initiatives than things like end-of-life. So that's an overview of the life cycle and all of the phases that we manage within our solution. The key is that not only are all those steps managed, but we're able to enhance the IT department or the overall company's business process through automating their workflows, through automating their escalations, their email notifications, et cetera, so that not only are they able to do these steps, they're able to do them more efficiently, more effectively. So you think about all that, that's quite a lot of work, that's quite a lot of functionality. How are we able to do all of this? So if you skip on now to slide 11, that's where we pose the question, and if you go to slide 12, this begins to diagram how all of those steps in the asset management lifecycle are performed. If you look at the left-hand side, what we really have within Maximo is a division of two different types of assets. If you look at the left-hand side, what's in orange, we have what's considered the authorized inventory. Now, this is a picture of what you're supposed to have. It's what you've gone through procurement for. It's what your IT department has given you. It's what you've actually bought. It's what you're authorized to have. So it's a concept of this laptop has been associated to me. I'm licensed to have Visio 2000 on it. I'm licensed to have Lotus Notes on it, same time, et cetera, et cetera. And on the authorized side, if you look at that orange square to the left-hand side of this slide, you see all of the types of information that are associated to that authorized inventory. When the asset was procured, what contract, through what vendor, who, what person it's associated to, how much we paid for it, what financial information there is around it, how much depreciated value it has, when its end of life is, how many times it switched hands, how many service desk tickets we have, et cetera, et cetera. All of that information makes up what's considered your authorized inventory. Now, on the right-hand side of this slide, you see in the gray, you see the discovered inventory. So this is all of the discovered information. There's agents running on people's networks, on their laptops, reporting back in all of the assets that are out there. Now, this is prior to the MRO software acquisition. This is really where IBM had focused their IT asset management or asset management for IT solutions. So it's things like TLCM, TLCMZ. From a competitor perspective, it's products like Marimba, Centennial, SMS, et cetera, et cetera. Those are typical discovery tools, tools that are out there running on your network, reporting back in, hey, here's the last person who logged into this machine, here's the actual software that's installed, et cetera, et cetera. Now, again, within Maximo, you see those the Maximo Fusion brings in all of that information and stores it in the discovered inventory within Maximo. And so as an end user looking in Maximo into the Maximo UI, you have a view of what the person is authorized to have and what's been discovered actually on their machine, what they've been discovered to have. And then in the middle, you see that two-headed arrow with the rules-based reconciliation. What that is doing is reconciling or auditing, comparing those two sets of data. And so you think about that, that's a pretty robust piece of functionality and definitely a big differentiator in the market where as an end user, as an IT department, as a CFO, I have a view of all of the things I've bought and what I'm supposed to have, and I have the ability to compare that with everything that's actually out in my network, everything that's actually running on my machines. So in my case, I can see that Don Busick is logging into on a daily basis the laptops that we gave him, and I can see that he has a license for Visio 2000, but he's actually got Visio 2005 installed, and based on that, I can take action. I can create a service desk ticket to have a technician come and uninstall that software. I can do a push from TPM to uninstall that software, et cetera, things along those lines. It's a pretty powerful picture and certainly a differentiator from our competitors. If you skip along now to slide 13, this is actually the competitive assessment that was done by the IBM market management team prior to the acquisition. And you see here, green is where Tivoli was leading, white is where Tivoli was on par with our competitors, and red is where Tivoli was trailing. You see the main competitors in this space across the top and the particular areas of focus on the left-hand side. Now, you see a lot of red, which is generally considered, since that's Tivoli trailing, not a good thing. This is where we stood prior to the acquisition. If you skip now to slide 14 depicts where we sit in that competitive assessment since the acquisition. And you see a lot more green and white, very popular colors in this case, since that's depicting that Tivoli is now leading. So again, I think when you think about all the functionality that we had in this space prior to the acquisition and now all of the functionality that we have by merging in Maximo with the rest of the Tivoli product suite, it ends up being a very, very powerful solution as compared to our competitors. If you progress now to slide 15, we'll now start to get into the business drivers. What are the reasons why a company would buy a asset management for IT solution? And if you go into slide 16, the biggest thing is to take control of your IT assets, right? You can see down the left-hand side here all of the questions that people have, whether it's in IT or from a financial perspective, your CFO department, your financial department, et cetera, et cetera. These are the types of questions that they have. You know, what assets do I have? Where are they? Who are using them? How's it configured? How is it used? What value is it providing to the business? Those are the types of questions that customers have. If you go down now to slide 17, we start to get into those business drivers. So what is it, what's kind of the reasoning why a customer would want to buy an asset management for IT solution? The first and more certainly one of the biggest reasons is to control the costs. Now, without an understanding of your IT asset management process, what typically happens at a customer site is something like this. I go in and say, hey, I need some new software. I put in a PO for it. My boss says, wow, you know, Don's a really smart guy. He must need this software, approves that PO, and new licenses for the software gets ordered. Or Gabby says, hey, I need a new laptop. Mine really is underpowered for the work that I do. She puts in a PO, and her boss says, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so she automatically gets a new laptop or a new server, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you can imagine as the companies get bigger and bigger, the amount of cost that accumulates based on this, where POs are just getting pushed through because nobody has an understanding of the concept of whether or not they have licenses they can redeploy or assets that they can redeploy. So in both of those scenarios, the big business driver is controlling your cost. Do you actually need that additional IT equipment, or can you redeploy existing equipment, or do you have other software or hardware that will fit the bill, extra space on your storage server rather than buying a new SAN, et cetera, et cetera. That's the type of challenge and the type of business driver around controlling costs that's such a big driver for asset management for IT. If you go on now to slide 18, another huge driver is mitigating compliance risk and risk in general, and I'm going to give you two examples of this. You see here things around Sarbanes-Oxley, Basel II, et cetera, et cetera. This is software license risk. So this is, you know, not being audited by your software vendors for inaccurate or overuse of licensing. You know, I only bought 15 licenses, but I actually have 300 people using this software, that type of concept. A big driver in the software industry for revenue right now is actually just going to customers and saying, hey, you're under license, give me more money. So it's a big fear for customers that they're going to be audited by their software vendors. Obviously, Sarbanes-Oxley is another big driver, and the risk at a CFO, CEO level of being thrown in jail because you're improperly using your software and your IT equipment is another big driver. A third, and you don't see this bullet here, is around the concept of knowing what exposure you have to things like viruses. So a new virus comes out that targets SQL Server 2000. Well, if you don't have an IT asset management solution in place, how do you know who has SQL Server 2000 running on their machines? Unless they're just people who log tickets and you know, tell you that they have the virus. You want to be able to proactively say, oh, this new virus came out. I'm going to immediately push that patch out to all the folks who have this exposure on their machines, and I know that because I have an asset management for IT solution in place. If you go now to slide 19, this talks about yet a third business driver, and in this case, it's improving IT service levels. And we talked about a little bit earlier the scenario where you're logging a ticket for your laptop, and so the service desk technician has a full picture of all of the service history that has happened with that laptop because they have an asset management for IT solution in place. This provides not only a better level of service to you, because that IT technician is able to more quickly diagnose the problem, but it also provides a more consistent service level back to you, because all of that information is available to all of the service desk technicians. So you don't have that kind of, oh, this person's a good technician, he really knows what's going on, this person isn't a good technician, he doesn't know what's going on. That concept is becomes a level playing field because all of that information is available to every technician. And as a result, you see greatly increased service levels. If you go on to slide 19, that overview gives some of the business drivers at a high level. We'll now talk about some of the benefits that are derived from a asset management for IT solution. If you go into slide 21, I'm not going to read off all these bullets, but the first, and this ties obviously to that business driver, is cost savings. Now, all of these statistics came from Gartner, but if you think about it, from an IT perspective, IT is getting squeezed right now, right? Their budgets are getting slashed. Their headcount's getting slashed. They're looking for ways to reduce cost so that they're able to redeploy their resources to more strategic things. Asset management for IT, I mean, if you look at the numbers and these percentages here, asset management for IT really gives you a great chance to reduce your cost overall as an IT department. And for a CEO or for a CIO who wants to look like a hero in the eyes of the CFO or CEO, these are some pretty big numbers. If you go on to slide 22, again, I'm not going to read off all these, but another realistic expectation from asset management for IT, again from Gartner, is around service level improvements. And so you can see the percentages here, pretty huge numbers when you think about, for example, the number of tickets that a help desk goes through to be able to help increase that first call resolution by 5 to 12%. That's a huge number. Now, for any of you who have ever logged a ticket with a help desk and been passed on from technician to technician, I'm sure these numbers are resonate with you as you think about how nice it is to know that your problem got resolved by the first person you talk to. Asset management for IT really helps in that area as well. If you go on to slide 23, risk mitigation. And again, this ties directly into the business drivers where if you look at some of these percentages here, again, provided by Gartner, the percentages are huge. And in today's world where risk mitigation is increasingly prevalent and increasingly important, these are some huge percentages and some huge numbers to help a CFO, a CIO, a CEO mitigate their risk, not just in the IT community, but overall with all of their SOX compliance, et cetera, et cetera. So some pretty big benefits around asset management for IT. Now, if you go to slide 24, how does an implementation get started? You know, you have a customer, they have these problems, they want to buy a solution, they're not certain where to get started, though. If you go to slide 25, there are several potential starting points, and it really depends just on a customer's pain point. If you think earlier on about that IT lifecycle diagram, really we can jump in at any point in that lifecycle with our solution to help remediate a customer's problems. This talks about some of the examples of where typical implementations get started, but the key is that it can really start anywhere and varies depending upon a customer's pain point. So that was slide 25. I'm going to move on to slide 26, and I'm going to turn it over to Gabby. For those of you that have any questions, we'll be taking some questions at the end.
Great. Thanks, Vaughn. I just wanted to make sure you can hear me all right.
I can hear you just fine. Thanks, Gabby.
Excellent. Thank you. So we just want to build out on a few things that Don was talking about. And first of all, start out with slide number 27 to illustrate where the Tivoli Asset Management for IT product that came through the MRO acquisition, where that really fits in the Tivoli portfolio. So as all of you know, Tivoli has a financial management strategy, and the Asset Management for IT solution fits in that financial management strategy. There's other products there, and excuse me on this slide, there's a branding error there. It's not Maximo Asset Management for IT, but it's Tivoli Asset Management for IT. That's the product that comes from the MRO acquisition. Also, there's the License Compliance Manager products for the distributed systems and for the ZOS, as well as the Maximo Discovery product that fits into the portfolio as well. It's actually a product that we license from Centennial Software, so MRO OEM that from Centennial Software, and that's still available to our customers today. And basically, this whole portfolio combined helps organizations to manage the end-to-end IT asset lifecycle with a focus on lowering the costs associated with that and mitigating the risk that Don highlighted earlier in terms of software license risk. So am I under license? Will I get audited and have hefty fees? Or am I able to support my compliance initiatives in terms of Sarbanes-Oxley and all that stuff? Proper IT asset management really enables the IT organization to align themselves with the business goals by being able to know who's using the software, where it is, where the IT assets are being managed, and being able to make sure that you tie that into your financial strategy. So let me go on quickly to the next slide slide number 28, it shows where practically the product fits in. At one point, Tivoli had a contract and compliance manager product. That product effectively is not being sold anymore today. The customers that were on that product are being migrated to the Tivoli IT Asset Management solution. Basically, TCCM, Tivoli Contract and Compliance Manager, did not have a good procurement integration, workflow management, and really had, you know, a lower level of security and alert management, all good stuff that the Tivoli Asset Management for IT product brings to the table. So that's how our product comes in. And again, these other products make up the Tivoli Financial Management strategy with products such as Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager that allows you to do chargebacks, and of course Tatum that also helps discover and then maintain application level dependencies and see how IT assets relate to each other. On slide 29, again, is a summary of how this comes together, and basically we now have one single platform, one single environment that manage all your critical assets throughout their life cycle. I wanted to just focus briefly on the target customers that we're going after. And this is slide number 31. The Tivoli Asset Management for IT solution delivers value to enterprises with all of the following attributes. I'm not going to read all of these out to you, but there are some very typical characteristics of certain organizations that make it a good opportunity for us to go in with our IT asset management solution. You know, organizations that have a decent amount of IT assets that they need to manage, often they have little visibility into their IT assets and don't really know what's going on. Where is, for example, that laptop? Who is using it? What kind of software is installed on it? Am I license compliant with that software? And then if an issue gets reported in the service desk, as Don pointed out, and someone has trouble with their IT asset, for example, the laptop just won't boot up. Wouldn't it be great if the service desk could go back into the asset detail and see that I have a certain type of laptop with the following software on it, and lo and behold, yesterday I installed a service patch and now suddenly this thing isn't working anymore. Well, the service desk will probably start investigating that service patch to see if that's causing the problem. So being able to tie the service desk and the IT asset management together. One additional point to keep in mind is that a lot of organizations are not using tools necessarily, asset management tools, to do their IT asset management. Many of them are still pretty unorganized in how they're approaching IT asset management. There might be a little Excel spreadsheet that's being used in finance or in contracts and procurement. Then the IT department might have a database that they're leveraging. So there's different siloed solutions throughout the organization. Very often it's all being done manually. So there's no real good processes for IT asset management. So when you talk to your customers, make sure that you delve in and ask them what they are doing today, what type of solutions they're using. Is it one seamlessly integrated environment? Do they have visibility into how their assets are configured? Are they managing to control their IT costs? And then in terms of supporting Sarbanes-Oxley compliance, are they able to support those compliance initiatives internally by having the right information and the right metrics around their IT assets? Other opportunities to go and investigate as well within your customer base are to see if there's any major organizational changes. Are there mergers and acquisitions? If so, there'll be a huge number of IT assets that are coming in and that will need to be managed. Is there a new CEO? CIO, sorry, that wants to put down a stamp and manage and maintain and their IT assets, get a handle on IT costs. Often those are the type of changes that prompt organizations to start revisiting what they're doing with IT asset management and drive them to look for solutions that can help them manage that. And again, if you come in and you talk to the CIO, if you manage to come in at the CIA level and have a conversation with those folks, focus on what's relevant to them. For most CIOs, they want to keep their butts out of jail. They want to make sure that they're compliant, and they want to control costs. Those are the two critical things. They're not necessarily interested in knowing that there's going to be great reports that tell you where Joe's laptop is and what software is installed on that. That level of detail is not relevant to a CIO. They want to make sure that they can control costs and that they can stay out of jail. And proper IT asset management with tools that give you the metrics and the visibility and the ability to manage the end-to-end asset lifecycle, allowed him to do that. So let's go on to the next slide. So who would you be talking to? Of course, you know, at the CIO level, there is interest in IT asset management because it helps mitigate risk and control costs. But very often, we all know that we're not able to come in at the CIO level and have that conversation. So within the IT organization, you'd want to talk to the folks that are responsible for asset management and those that are responsible for infrastructure management, as they will have a vested interest in using tools to manage the IT asset end-to-end life cycle. Then within the business operations side of the house, there are often, especially in larger organizations, risk managers, maybe even a CRO, that are very much interested in the capabilities of mitigating compliance risk through proper IT asset management, as well as a finance manager, like a CIO. Those folks are interested in making sure that you can control costs, understand where your IT assets are, who are using them, how you can charge back that usage to different departments. Those are the types of people you want to be talking to. The next slide, how to spot opportunities. So basically what we're asking the Tivoli sellers to do is to go back to their customer base and find out from them what they're doing from IT asset management today. It's quite simple. Just initiate a conversation, and you'll be surprised at what you find. There's many large organizations out there that really don't have a good process for IT asset management. And then, of course, our solutions offer additional advantages beyond managing the life cycle that Don just illustrated. From a technology perspective, the way that the Maximo solutions are architected, it offers great advantages. We have built-in configuration tools that allow our customers to make easy on-the-fly changes to user interface, workflows, templates, and whatnot. And if you look at competitive solutions, any changes that need to be made have to be custom-coded. So, again, look at our solutions, built-in configuration tools that make it really easy to make these changes on the fly, or competitors where you have to custom-code any changes. It requires developer resources. It requires changes that need to be managed through a process to get them into production. It's very expensive, very time-consuming. And then the issue of upgradability. When you upgrade competitive solutions, so, for example, the Peregrine Asset Center, if you want to upgrade that, all those custom changes you've made are lost. They have to be redone again. And this is, you know, definitely not a trivial point. Many, many organizations that are using competitive solutions are struggling with that today. Vendors have complicated roadmaps. They're dropping support for versions that they're still on. So a lot of customers are being pushed to upgrade. And these are very, very costly scenarios. Our competitive intelligence group has done some research. And for a somewhat sizable organization that's looking at a competitive upgrade, you can easily talk about numbers close to $1 million to upgrade those solutions. Whereas with our Maximo technology, because we have these built-in configuration tools and changes that you make through those configuration tools are metadata flagged, any upgrade you do will carry over those configurations, so they do not have to be redone. It's a very, very compelling value proposition. So when you talk to your customers, find out from them how they're managing, you know, changes to their application environment, their IT asset management solution, and their going through an upgrade or they're facing an upgrade in the future, have discussions with them around that because there's very, very strong advantages that we offer in those areas. Other questions to ask is delve into if they have good visibility on where their assets are, how they're being used, if they're license compliant. You know, do they know if they're over-licensed, meaning they pay too much? They might have 200 licenses of Visio, but you only have 10 people using it. Well, maybe it's time to go back to your vendor and renegotiate your contract. Or are they under-licensed? Do they only have a few licenses of those, but they have you know, a lot more people using it? And are they facing audits that make them, you know, incur hefty fees because they're not in compliance? These are the kind of questions you want to ask when you talk to your customers about IT asset management. So just a quick look at slide number 35. I, again, just want to highlight the competitive differentiation that we have, and then I'll wrap up this call because we certainly want to make some time for Q&A. The key points to focus on is, again, we have one integrated solution, one unified solution on the Maximo technology for all asset and service management. So as Don explained in the beginning, our solutions are built on a Maximo technology. It's one infrastructure that gives you the ability to do EAM, enterprise asset management, IT asset management, and your service desk functions in the same technology. So these solutions are seamlessly integrated. We have actually quite a few customers that are using all of our products and are getting great benefits in terms of system consolidation by having all these solutions in one environment, whereas a lot of our competitive solutions are very, very clunky. They, the ITAM solutions, the service desk solutions don't tie in together very well, and they're also not able, our competitive solutions are not able to do enterprise asset management, which you can do in the Maximo technology. As I pointed out just now, our solutions are very flexible and easy to configure, no coding required, as is the case with competitive solutions, and these configurations upgrade, so upgradability is a key competitive differentiator. Furthermore, our solution is built on leading standards-based technology. It's a modern solution built on G2EE, service architecture, web services, XML, and solutions like Peregrine and Remedy have been around for decades and are built on based on older proprietary technology that, frankly, is reaching its end of life. In terms of security, scalability, interoperability, being built on standard-based, state-of-the-art technology offers great, great advantages that we have with our system. So towards the end, slide number 36. I just want to point out that we have a few sales plays available on Extreme Leverage. We're in the process of rolling out an IT asset management sales play. I believe there's a placeholder on the Extreme Leverage site already, so please have a look there. And we also have a service desk competitive displacement sales play. Certainly have a look at that as well, because as we pointed out, service desk and IT asset management really do go hand in hand. Towards the end of the slide deck, and I won't really go to the slides now, but towards the end of the deck, you'll find customer information as well as a few client profiles that you can refer back to. We have great customer references for our solution, but as you can imagine, we don't have hundreds of them. We manage our customer reference process very, very tightly. There are certainly customer names you can name drop, but when it comes down to providing actual customer contact information for a reference, well, we look at the opportunity, the size of the opportunity, because we don't want to burden our customers. We manage that process carefully. So I did want to point that out. We have only a few minutes remaining, so let's open it up to it.
Kelly, can you open the lines for Q&A, please?
Thank you. At this time, if you do have a question, please signal us by pressing *1 on your touch-tone telephone. Also, if you're using a speakerphone, please release the mute function before pressing the digits. Again, that is *1 for questions. We'll go first to Marcus Boone.
Thanks. Hey, Don, this was good stuff. I appreciate it. I just wanted to, early on you mentioned the section about Tivoli Change and had a chart with CMDB on it, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone understands that these are the same capabilities we sell and market under the CCMDB, and they're not different solutions. And in fact, that's part of the beauty of this overall solution is the unified nature of the database and the UI, et cetera, between the assets and the CIs and what we're able to do there. Do you have anything to add or help clarify that a little bit?
Oh, Marcus, you're exactly right, as usual. The it's all one unified platform, and so as a customer, you have the ability to, assuming you've bought that functionality, you have the ability to view and leverage not just the CI information, but also the asset information, tie all that together, make that all available to the different users that are using it. It ends up being a very powerful overall solution where all of that information, all of what's discovered, all of the CIs, et cetera, is available through one UI to your end users. It ends up being a very powerful story.
Well, thanks.
Any other questions out there?
Yes, we'll go next to Joe Leone.
Hi, guys. Great presentation. Good information. I have a question related to, I heard something about patch management before, and so I don't misunderstand it. We still don't do software release management. Is that correct? Like a new version of a software comes out and someone wants to distribute that across the enterprise?
Joe, you're exactly right. Now, the the key is that within Maximo, we're managing the process of that deployment of the new patches, et cetera. Now, the difference between what was available as MRO software and Maximo versus what we have now is the integrations to the Tivoli products like TPM that do patch management.
Mm-hmm.
So what comes out a little later later this year is an integration to TPM so that if you want to manage your process of patch management in Maximo and have that tied into the actual tool that's deploying those patches to your end users, that can be done. So think about that story. Again, in your UI, you have here's all the patches that have been pushed out to all of my end users. Here's all the versions they have. All of that information is available in Maximo, and the tie-in to the tools actually just doing that work will become a canned portion of the solution later this year.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Good question.
We'll hear next from Richard Johnston.
Hey, Don. This has been really good. I appreciate it. One of the things that we're running into are questions about total cost of ownership, and I think you covered that. But in terms of, we talked about asset management and lifecycle management, can you say a few words about the cost accounting side of that? In other words, when changes are made to a business unit or when software changes are made, using the information that is available through change process managers, RFCs, et cetera, with asset management, we really do have the complete story.
Yeah, Rich, you're spot on. It's a big driver. You know, you think about IT departments today and really general kind of epidemic across all departments is a desire to drive down cost and drive up efficiencies and drive up production. And so a big way to do that is to do your work more efficiently. And in this case, it's managing your cost more efficiently, having a much better understanding of where you're spending your money and the ability to redeploy and reuse equipment, assets, et cetera, as opposed to simply buying new ones and leveraging existingly owned assets as opposed to, again, buying new ones. It's a huge total cost of ownership saver, really.
Okay. Can I ask another question?
Please.
You mentioned Sarbanes-Oxley. Okay. And with the CCMDB and the tooling that we've recently acquired with Maximo, I am trying to put together a Sarbanes-Oxley story more than just a lot of the data can be referenced for. Is there any specs or any kind of reference material that you might have that you could share with us on how one might use our data for either audit purposes for Sarbanes-Oxley or actual the proof points, I guess, is what I'm saying, trying to say.
So the trick with Sarbanes-Oxley is it is general guidelines. You know, there isn't often kind of pointed steps saying you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. It's more a concept of checks and balances where, for example, the same person who's submitting the PO can't approve the PO. And so what we have with Maximo in the workflow engine is the ability to tailor to that customer's business process. And so we do have a lot of customers, MRO software included, prior to the acquisition, where we built our who build their workflows based around being Sarbanes-Oxley compliant. And so what you do is you automate your approvals, your business process, so that those checks and balances are built in. Now, the hard part with Sarbanes-Oxley is that it is more of a framework, again, than specifically, you know, your CFO needs to do X and your procurement manager needs to do Y. And so we have some workflows that we've used at different customers that will match their needs for SOX compliance, but it is hard to say specifically this is going to match Regulation 1.1.1 of Sarbanes-Oxley Act 3.4 because of the generalness of the actual Sarbanes-Oxley regulations.
Okay, maybe it'd be a subject for a white paper.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
And again, that is star one for any further questions at this time. And there appear to be no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. We'll wrap up this call then. Thanks.
Thanks very much for all your time, and feel free to send any additional questions that you have over to Gabby or myself if anything comes up at a later date.
Don and Gabby, I'd like to thank you both for an excellent presentation. Have a great day and great selling, everyone.
That concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect. Have a pleasant day.